Testing.
Yep, we're good.
What's up?
Not much. I'm Jaina.
Cool. I'm Nick.
And we are back with a Star Wars episode. We're going to be talking about Phantom Menace.
Hell yeah.
And if you listened to last week's episode, I did Star Wars music with Peter Borzolino.
Oh, yeah. Did I listen to it? Yeah. Yeah, he was talking about, you guys talking about the intro, and then started talking about the Vader theme, and I really like that. A lot of John Williams, all his other movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
Yeah. We recorded it last week for spring break day. You go to FPU, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Cool.
And I found out you have a band as well.
Yeah. We just started like a little over a month ago. Or a few months ago, in October of last year. It's called Severity, and we do kind of rock metal, stuff like that, with pop vocals, and there's a lot of stuff in there, so it's a lot of fun to do, and yeah.
One of these days, we'll get the band on here.
Sure, yeah, maybe.
This is a music podcast as well.
Cool, yeah, I saw music in Disney, and I was like, well, that's me, so
yeah.
I figured, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, because Peter's going to talk to Milfoil to see if they can get on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They have blown up recently. They got on this super top-tier playlist, and they've got a ton of listeners. It's really cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I think half of it was Peter on the podcast.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But, and Sincerely Yours, they're also on a roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, Ted's get that little spiel out.
Yeah, right.
So, Phantom Menace. It came out in 1999. Where are you born?
Yeah, I was born 98. So, I don't remember it coming out, but I've obviously, I've seen it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the only prequel I was not alive for.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I've seen any of them in theaters. Is the only thing.
I saw the sequels in theaters.
Oh, sure. Yeah, me too. I'm just trying to remember. It's so hard because they're all out of order and I'm getting sequels confused with all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my family bought the DVD set, so they had kind of 1, 2, and 3. And then 3 was my favorite. But I don't know, it's not the topic, but 3 is my favorite for a number of reasons. And then 1 expanded on the characters that led up to 3, even though, yeah. But big difference from... the sixth one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. As far as like cinematography goes, because I know George went to film school and stuff like that and tried to really hone in, because he's really doing everything on his own if you think about it. Not only did he come up with the idea for all of it, but he's also has to learn how to make a movie at the same time. So.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah. It's very good. Like the CGI is like still holds up.
Yeah, right.
Like almost 22 years later.
Yeah. And they use a lot of Star Wars is known for like all their practical effects too, and like puppetry and puppeteering and I don't really know the right words for it, but yeah.
I guess when you have Frank Oz as Yoda, you might have the Muppet. Well,
sure, yeah. They just wanted to get him to fight in 2 and 3, so I think they because it's puppet in the first one, and then
yes, but CGI in the prequels.
Yeah, I think they also originally had puppetry for or puppeteering for 2 and 3, but then wanted to get him in there fighting. So
yeah,
that must have been good to see. I don't know. I'm too young to understand that, but
yeah, I was gonna say Peter and I had the exact same. We were talking about the same thing.
We're
in the generation of the prequels.
Yeah.
Well, I'm mostly sequels just because I was born in 2001.
Sure, yeah.
So, but
Phantom Menace. I'm sort of on the same page, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting film for Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah. So, opening scene, we got Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And then, obviously, if you've seen the original series, you kind of know instantly who it is. But Qui-Gon's kind of this, I would argue, one of the most, iconic, but never really got to... his full potential, because it could be argued that if he had trained Anakin, I feel as though he wouldn't have become this terrible person that he became. So
yeah, there's I've seen many like Reddit arguments about that.
Sure.
Peter and I discussed that yesterday. Peter, yep. If you are listening to this, you will be mentioned 18
episode. Yeah, he's the flagship that everything else is compared to because he did it first. So
yeah, he was willing to, yeah. Yeah, he was like the first one to ask. I'm like, I know who will do this.
Right. Yeah, and they've got that movie loaded up with like Liam Neeson and Ian McGregor, because I've seen him in some I forget what it's called, but it's some musical thing. I really forget the names of things.
Was it Moulin Rouge?
It was. That's what it was. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Twitter.
Yeah, right. I think he did it before. I really don't know. But and then you have Ray Park, obviously, as Maul, doing all those acrobatics as a martial artist and stuff.
Yeah. Keira Knightley is the decoy.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman, of course.
Jake Lloyd does not deserve the hate he gets.
Yeah, right. I heard he was bullied like constantly just in school. I mean, everyone is, but you know what I mean? Like specifically for being in a movie, which I would think would have the opposite effect. But apparently apparently they attribute a lot of the I don't know, because Phantom Menace is generally seen as, although I don't agree with this too much, it's seen as kind of like one of the lessers, I would say.
Yeah.
By
with all the memes it's become.
Yeah. And people attribute that to Jar Jar, but I don't know. I liked his character when I was young. I still do. I think it's hilarious. The only thing that I kind of struggled with is just the midichlorian, like the introduction of like trying to explain too many things. Yeah. Cause I could see how that would happen if you're creating a movie and then going back, and then you pretty much have a lot of explaining to do when you're trying to create, you know, this larger story arc for something that wasn't intended, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And people always say like the Trade Federation is like that took up too much of the storyline.
Sure. You mean like separatists and stuff like that? Yeah. Are you talking about
separatists are like Newt Gunray's name isn't even mentioned until Attack of the Clones.
Sure, yeah.
So you have this bad guy who doesn't even get named until the second film.
Yeah. I get Viceroy and that's what I'm getting confused. I'm getting Viceroy and Newt Gunray confused. Yeah, I'm actually least familiar with
they're the same person.
Oh, well, there we go. That's probably why I'm confusing them. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, because the first thing you see is that like it's like I forget what the type of droid is called right now. I can't think right now. I don't know what it is about.
Battle droid or droidica?
No. It's like the 3PO, except it's the silver one.
Protocol.
That's what it was. Because PO is protocol.
TC-14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lego Star Wars. Right.
I'm super into like Old Republic stuff, so I don't know if like the same lingo translates to the modern day stuff. So.
Yeah. I think there's a New Republic series out, like High Republic or something like that.
Oh, really? Wow.
It's like 300 years before Phantom Menace.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I play the old Republic game, the MMO one with like a lot of people in it. Not the single player one, but the game that has like the second highest budget in the world besides GTA 5, but yeah.
Yeah. I play the Lego games, so I'm waiting for the
Right, yeah.
I'm waiting for the Lego Star Wars, the new one.
Oh, they're doing a new one. Oh, yeah, you guys talked about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Peter was like, Peter said he has to invest in it now.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
That was the first video game I ever played. My friend had it. And I was just like, what on earth is this? It's like not real life, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Complete Saga will forever be iconic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk about kind of Padme and Annie's interaction. Young Anakin's interaction, because I liked Jake Lloyd, as you said, his portrayal, but I feel as though the interaction was kind of odd, just purely on the fact that Natalie Portman is just significantly older. Although the characters probably aren't that big of a difference, Natalie Portman was just clearly way older than him, and I'm glad that they didn't like push it until episode 2. You know what I mean? Because that would be That'd be very odd.
Padme was 14 in Phantom Menace.
Oh, sure.
Anakin was 9. Anakin and Baby Yoda are the same age.
Oh, that makes sense. Because I always think 50, but obviously that's not true. Yep. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because Mandalorian takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
I forget how they measure. Is it BBY? Is that how it is?
Yes. Yeah. BBY, ABY.
Yeah, ABY. And what's the BY? I always forget. I'm so caught up.
Before Battle of Yavin.
That's what it was. Okay.
And then after Battle of Yavin, after A New Hope.
They draw a lot, yeah, from
the original.
Yeah.
Especially if you watch Clone Wars.
I started it. I'm very, very unfamiliar with that.
Well, they have Admiral Akbar makes an appearance as not as Admiral, but as a different rank.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was I don't want to go too much into other stuff, but when I was watching Mando, there was one of the voice actors was playing a character, and I was just like, why is this person enunciating so much? It kind of ruined it initially, until I learned that it was actually the voice actor also playing their character live, which I thought was great.
I think I know who you're talking about.
But I thought that was cool. So Phantom Menace, the most iconic thing from this, I think, is either... Well, there are actually a lot. I would say Qui-Gon is the most iconic part of that, besides Duel of Fates, but that's kind of...
Yep. In the pottery.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know how that... I guess it shows that... and it also shows what Anakin constructing 3PO and R2-D2, which is never mentioned.
I know there's a meme for and spoiler alert for the rest of the films, because it's hard to talk about one without talking about the rest, in a way. But it's I found a meme was Anakin making 3PO and adding, if you've seen episode 9, adding Sith language.
Oh, yeah, it's never referenced, so it's kind of difficult to connect the two.
Yeah, but I've seen that meme so many times. That and Hello There.
Oh yeah, of course. Does he say it? Does he say it in the first one?
No, that's the third.
That's what I thought.
In the fourth, technically.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, he does say it in the fourth.
But
they should just dub it in for a new version and stuff. They love doing that with Greedo and Han. They just do different changes no matter what.
Yeah.
There's even a change between the Blu-ray series and Disney Plus, which is ridiculous. I'm the same way with music stuff, where I just constantly just want to change it, even though it's already out. That's a problem I run into a lot, so I completely understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, and now that you say that, you're reminding me of John Grenier.
Oh, sure. Is he a perfectionist? I know him personally, but I don't know too much about his music aside from jazz performances.
He's a perfectionist.
Oh, me too. Yeah, cool.
John and I were both music majors before.
Yeah,
I left.
Yeah.
So John was teaching me guitar.
Oh, sure, yeah.
As well. It was him, Alex Wentworth, and Peter that were teaching me.
Oh, cool.
And Jack Hellman was teaching me drums.
Oh, right. I heard you clicking drumsticks in one of the recordings, I forget. Yeah,
I was.
Is that your main instrument? I've looked into the podcast, but I haven't looked too far into.
Yes, drums.
That's
are
what
my
I thought.
Instrument, which is ironic because I'm sensitive to sound.
Oh, sure, right? And literally the loudest instrument you could possibly play.
Yep, especially if you hear Jack.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, Jack and I.
No offense, Jack.
Yeah, we have a lot of experience.
Jack, great drummer.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, yeah, but now I just had to get say that. Yes.
Yeah. You do the dumb.
John is also a perfectionist. He has said that.
The problem with me is I just got into master, because I was just a guitar player for 14 years, and then I've always sang and stuff like that, but mixing and mastering was just a whole new world to me, and I'm only a year into it, but I get really frustrated and demotivated when I I like listen to a professional that charges $400 a song. I'm like, huh, why can't I do that? You know, but they're like, a million tricks and stuff like that.
Wait, are you a music major?
I was a music minor, but then I ended up dropping it. I'm a business major. So.
Oh, okay. Because you said jazz performance. I'm like, oh, you got to be in the
Yeah, band. I did a jazz band with everyone for, I think, I don't know. I think it was three semesters total. Maybe not consecutively. And then I also did pep band with Jack and a few other people.
Yeah, pep band I knew because I lived in a chapter.
Oh, sure, yeah.
For like a month, so I would always
It was fun being the only guitar player in jazz band. I mean, I would, or not in jazz band, in pep band rather. Because, in jazz we had, at one point I remember, I think it was like four total. And then, very fun. And they all play strats, so it's like very like spanky sounds. It just cuts through, and I play Les Paul, which is like super dark sounding. So it's like, I just get like drowned. It was very fun though. I really enjoyed that.
Pierce is definitely like it's definitely community.
Oh, absolutely.
I think if the pandemic wasn't the thing, I'd still be there.
Yeah. I heard you're doing online.
Maybe most likely. But anyway, so let's see. There were definitely like moments that could have been left out, but like with that perfectionist attitude. Because especially with a franchise so big, it's hard not to have that.
Oh,
attitude.
Of course. And because the main difference between one after episode one after six, sorry, I gotta start specifying what I'm saying because it makes sense to me, but probably not everybody else.
Yeah.
Is the fighting style, obviously, because we see like, you know, George said like, we want to see the Jedi in their prime. We want to see like fast movements, kendo stances, all these different adaptations and stances. And obviously Ray Park could emulate all of that. Not only emulate it, but he could lead and direct like stunt coordination with, I forget the stunt coordinator's name, but they've kept the same one, I'm pretty sure, up until the sequels, I think.
Yeah, that went surprising.
Yeah, with the acquisition of Disney. The sequel fight scenes were interesting. Some of them were okay. Some of them were, you know, oh well. But,
yeah.
I mean, if you're just watching the movie once, you don't notice it, so.
I personally, like, the fighting style shows, like, the era.
Of course.
Like, obviously, the prequels, it shows, like you said, Jedi in their prime, they're prominent.
Yeah.
The original trilogy Jedi like are pretty much
two
extinct.
Old men. Yeah, that's how George described it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and with Luke and Vader, obviously, and then the sequels, it's 30 years after Return of the Jedi. So, and obviously you have Kylo Ren, who was trained to be a Jedi.
Sure.
And then
his style is probably the most interesting. Besides, I would say Ray Park is my favorite fighting style, or maybe Kylo is more my favorite.
I feel like some of them are hard to compare.
Yeah, because I mean I don't know a lot about martial arts, but I see the, well, obviously with the hilt, you can see like this sort of English like claymore swinging, you know what I mean, very heavy aggressive movements, reminiscent of like, well, obviously medieval because it's a sword, but like I think of like William Wallace with like the two-handed greatsword and stuff like that. A lot of swinging and just intent. You can see the negative intent in his eyes, obviously. Something like that.
Yeah. One common complaint is like Darth Maul doesn't get enough screen time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil Clone Wars for
you. Understand. I understand a lot of it, but so. Yeah.
Oh
yeah. I just haven't seen it, so I think you can go right ahead if that's
Okay, that's fine. So Darth Maul is alive in Clone Wars, and he dies in Rebels.
Yeah, I've seen the final fights. I think that's about it. It's over within a second.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But because it was bringing Maul back for Clone Wars with like a vengeance for Kenobi. That.
Yeah.
It's interesting because a lot of people consider Clone Wars a kids show. It is definitely not a kids show.
Yeah, the thing about like animated things is no matter what, it's made by adults. So there's like, you know.
Yeah.
Like my parents, I would watch like Fairly Odd Parents, and there's so many underlying jokes that my parents would get that I wouldn't, obviously, because I would be too young. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm watching iCarly on Netflix, and there are definitely a ton of.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, what did you think of showing Anakin leaving his mother?
You're talking about with the backpack running towards. You're talking about when Maul intercepts them. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
That's one of my favorite scenes. I don't know why. Just seeing Maul use one of the... Because I'm obviously really into the action scenes and stuff like that. But seeing him use just one end of it. Because I don't think it's revealed that it's... Right? Actually, I never thought about that. I don't think it's revealed that it's a double-bladed until the end. Wow.
No, it's not.
I never realized that until now. I didn't just watch it, but... that's so cool.
No, it's not revealed until he fights Obi-Wan.
Oh, that's so cool. Qui-Gon. I didn't even think of that until now. But yeah.
It's kind of like Grievous with Revenge of the Sith, where they don't reveal he has four lightsabers.
Yeah, it's just a moment I'll never live through because I haven't, you know? It's just when I was born, you know? I can't unwatch something and then go back and... Because I was actually a prequels fan. Like, I would heavily prefer the prequels over. It's just because it's the only ones we owned, so.
Yeah. Like, I personally like the sequels.
Yeah.
I liked them all equally, but since I was Rey for Halloween junior year. Like, cool. And because I was, like, too little for the prequels.
Oh, of course.
Like, I think the sequels, and Peter mentioned this too, I think the sequels, like, give it 5 or 10 years, and people will like them.
Yeah.
Like the prequels, because I remember when people trashed on the prequels.
I like the sequels a lot too, because I like Ren a lot. Yeah. I like they're kind of spread. Characters are spread kind of thin. That's one thing, because I watched the director's cut of that, where he pretty much just like, or not the director's cut, director commentary, where he pretty much just talks over the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of work done to change like the interaction between two characters. They would record one in one scene, or like, let's say the camera's on Rey, they would shoot that in I forget where they were, somewhere in Africa, I think it was somewhere in the desert, and then they're like, okay, we just want to change the interaction between like Finn and Rey, and then they would shoot just on John Boyega in the studio and then interlace them. I thought that was absolutely insane that like they have like the like production costs to do that.
Also, he is the only one of the main three for the sequels to have social media.
Oh, what do you mean? You just
Daisy Ridley got bullied off social media. Her and Kelly Marie Tran, who was Rose, got bullied off.
Wow, that's so sad.
Oscar Isaac doesn't have it. You'd like Oscar because he plays Poe.
Oh, sure, yeah. He plays Poe, right? Yeah. They were going to get rid of him. I know that's for a different episode. But...
Yes, and then they like Oscar so much.
And then he said himself, he's just like, they probably should have just killed me. I think it would have been a completely abrupt ending if they had. Because I was, like I said, I was watching the director's commentary, and he's talking about, like, you know, getting rid of him. And then I'm just like, oh, God. It would be so abrupt if they were to get rid of him. But, yeah.
Yeah. Which you can't really say about the prequels. Like, if you take just one character away, there's, like, no story. Like, the story.
Sure. And another main complaint about the prequels is, like, the overwhelming, like, focus on politics, I think, is what. I actually found it interesting rewatching them recently because I just got Disney Plus. So, I actually found that part really interesting because there's so many things that I just never understood. And then I would start to understand, like, what Palpatine's really doing. You know what I mean? Like, literally fighting himself.
Yeah. Peter and I, hopefully, are going to do a watch on Disney Plus.
They have a feature on that?
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yes. We can have... Yeah, I'll set... Yeah. If I can talk to you and Peter on Instagram. Cool, yeah. And yeah.
I know about the feature on like Amazon stuff. I didn't know they had the group walk on it.
Yeah. It only works if you're in the same country. Sense.
That's cool.
With Disney Plus. So my co-host, who was not here for a myriad of reasons, lives in England. So we have to use a whole separate app. So that's always interesting. But watching a lot of movies like Star Wars, like it would just be too much. So that's why we have guests.
My favorite part about Star, 'cause Star Wars is my favorite thing besides music, I would say. And my favorite thing is, well, this is kind of cheating because my favorite thing is the music in Star Wars. So it's kind of, and the sound effects, because I'm obviously like, I'm real into music and like audio production and stuff like that. And just hearing those like the laser sounds, especially from like taunt wires and stuff like that. And even the animal sounds interest me, like in Attack of the Clones, where they like release those three into the sort of gladiator arena. And you just hear them.
Yeah.
One has like reverb on it. It's like, oh, like, I want to do all the sounds. And then, you know, and then they have like all these like crazy sounding, almost combination of real animals. And I eat that stuff up. I think it's so interesting.
Now that I'm into music, like I know some Imperial March and Return to Jedi, they emphasize the drums.
Oh, of course.
And so I'm like, yes, and like all the music, like I'd never noticed. Music opens your world, opens your eyes to a whole new world.
It's like a live experience. Because if there was no audio, I would feel as though, I mean, this might be obvious to some people, but to others, maybe not. It's like, if there was no audio, I wouldn't feel as though I'm actually there. You know what I mean? I would feel as though I'm spectating, but then audio, even though it's only two dimensions, isn't that crazy? Like, well, I guess three if you consider time, but you know, there's the audio, visual, and then you feel the time passing by. But I think, just the immersion of sound, because it's physically moving you because of the air moving. So I think that's like just brings you right in. And then if you hear, there's some splices in the sequels that I don't like, auditory splices, especially with Ren, like Kylo's voiceover, because obviously he can't speak through helmet and they voice over, which is fine, but I just hear a few added lines that are very obvious, but it might just be obvious because that's all I pay attention to, so.
I felt that more than I should have, but I personally really I'm on Star Wars Twitter, so I'm on in the Star
cool
Wars
yeah I have a Twitter for my video game stuff, so I think I know what you mean.
So I'm basically on like on Stan Twitter, cool, basically, but this support. And if you want to
so how does it work exactly?
I'll just tell my Star Wars
cool Twitter. I post a bit for my the Star Wars game I play, but I've been kind of on and off with that because whenever I sit down, I kind of just want to do music stuff. So I'm like, oh man. And I've been getting real into the Marvel movies right now because I haven't been caught up on that. But you know, getting Disney Plus, the first thing I did was obviously Star Wars. That's the only reason I got it. So.
Disney Plus is interesting.
I prefer it over anything. I don't really watch that many things. That's the thing, like too many TV shows, but
yeah. Well, Netflix just got rid of Power Rangers.
Who's that owned by, do you know?
So I'm like, what? It's Hasbro.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the contract expired for a lot of the seasons for Netflix.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
No, my brother just started watching Riverdale, so maybe I'll watch that. But I mostly watch Austin and Ally.
Oh, cool! Yeah, TV shows are something I know. I mean, I know about the names, but I just I know Riverdale High, but I really I'm really bad with the names of things. If you can't tell, so
yeah, it's yeah, Disney Plus, interesting, helped pass the quarantine. But I'm... Yeah, I personally enjoy Phantom Menace.
I think I do too.
People do.
That's the one I haven't seen in the most amount of time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because the... Because obviously we have the three stages of, like, throughout the entire saga. It's Separatists, and then Empire, and then First Order. I can't, like, think of the names of it, like I said. And I thought it was... I feel as though they had to make, like, another disposable battle unit. You know what I mean? Like, Stormtroopers were obviously just, just, like, falling off of everything. Just pretty much people to just die for free. And then they just came up with droids, and I think droids are absolutely hilarious.
I've seen a few of them.
Where they, I think they like pitch shift his voice to just like one frequency, and then it's just this monotone, like, that stuff's so funny.
You would pick up.
Well,
on
I watched like a before and after, so that's probably why.
Oh yeah, that
and I think Grievous is the same person as well.
Grievous is the same.
Yeah, Phantom Menace is when I rewatched all of them, I left it out of the order, I guess. I forget what that order is called, where it's a suggested way to watch all of them.
4, 5, 6.
Yeah,
one.
It's like
your original.
What is it? 4, 5, 6. 2, 3, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, I do. Sure. You're gonna love this. 1, 2.
Sure.
The Clone Wars movie, Revenge of the Sith, Solo, Rogue One.
Sure. Yeah.
And then go from there. I haven't actually finished that said marathon because by the time I get to Force Awakens, I'll watch Force Awakens and then I'll be like, this is a lot of Star Wars content, but I'm determined to finish the marathon.
It's hard because whenever I watch it, I hear like the music, and I'm just like, oh god! Like, I just want to like pause it and just go into Pro Tools and just start doing like, I'm doing like some silly like, you know how like every character has like their own motif and like entrance song and stuff like that. I've been kind of like creating characters in my head and kind of just making making entrance songs for them because I don't know why not. It's fun. It's easy to do, and I've just kind of been doing that. I don't have to share them with anyone. I just kind of keep them, and it's my thing, I guess. So very inexperienced with composition if it's not rock or metal or jazz, pretty much. You can fake it so easily. It's great.
You know what? I think I've heard Josh
probably
say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh is great. He's super into movies. He understands more than I could ever about any of that. I heard Peter referencing Josh of talking about I guess that activated my, I can't say the word again because my phone will answer, but the operating system responsible for iPhones. I can't say the name. It begins with an S, ends in Erie, but I guess whatever I said just activated my phone. I don't know if
Josh definitely him and Alex were streaming on Twitch, and I mentioned that Peter and I did
we
did last week, and Josh was like going into like all the details, like movie stuff.
Was Josh playing zombies?
I don't think they were playing anything. Oh, cool. I think it was just
I see him on Steam a lot, hopping on Black Ops 2 and stuff like that. So this is a cool program, this Anchor thing. I just joined and it just
it's completely free.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's free.
Oh,
it's owned by Spotify.
I joined and I just see recording 1, 2. I'm like, oh no. Like, I'm not prepared.
You get, the more you do it, like, You can have up to like five people, I think.
Cool. Yeah, my dad does a trail running podcast because he and I are kind of into that. So I might tell him about it. But he's got a bit to learn about audio stuff. But I might just be super elitist about it. I don't know.
Personally, I think podcasting got me out of my shell. But I do think the day we get Milfoil on an episode.
All of them in one. It's like it'll be like a COD lobby or something, like a Discord or something.
Yeah. And I've never met Joe.
I know him. I think we've met, but I don't know. I don't really remember things in general, so it's kind of difficult to.
Yeah. We're friends on Joe and I are friends on Facebook, so. But like, I personally find it like very interesting, like how they're all like in the Star Wars and then like.
Isn't it great how it's popular now? And it's not like it's not like this thing that you don't want to tell anyone about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was embarrassed to admit it for a long time because I've gotten hate on Instagram.
Okay. Oh.
Because I'm a girl.
Really? Like, as it pertains to liking Star Wars and being a girl. I mean, I'm not surprised, but it's just like, that's a weird correlation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twitter is much better.
Twitter's interesting.
It's Raven Nation.
Yeah. Raven Nation has been my new thing. I love just making super dumb posts. That stuff makes me laugh because it's all themed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like general, you know.
Yeah.
Like Twitter's like you just talk about whatever, but then Raven Nation is just like
just
people complaining, and then me complaining about people complaining, and then complaining that I'm complaining about people complaining.
Yeah. Seriously, if you want to join Star Wars Twitter, message me on Instagram with your Twitter handle, and I will be there to follow you.
Yeah. Sure. I follow friends. A few Old Republic players and stuff like that that I know a little bit. But...
Yeah.
I used Instagram for my music stuff and guitar stuff, and then I was just like, I really don't like playing covers in general, just me personally. So I just lost serious interest in like posting video. I kind of like doing like funny ones because I don't know why not. But man, I would see other like random hashtags or random advertisements of just people like playing a solo from a song. Like, oh, that's really cool. But like, I don't know.
It's not original. I have to start.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Strumming patterns.
I'm talking about like as far as like entertainment value goes. Like I like posting, you know, like progress videos. Like, I can do this now. I can play this song now. But I don't mind watching them, but for me personally, I've lost a lot of interest in playing even my favorite songs. I don't even know how to play my favorite songs. Yeah.
Wow. Right now I'm learning Dancing on My Own by Callum Scott and
cool.
Bellyache by Billie Eilish.
I was learning
a few
Slipknot songs. Just because they're super hard, and I'm like a rhythm player, almost not exclusively, but very into like drop tunings and stuff like that, where you can pretty much bar, and you don't have to do all these chord shapes. Because in like rock and metal music, you probably know there's like not very much like the chords are just five chords, like just two notes, so like power chords.
Yeah. I was using a guitar app and it made me learn power chords on an acoustic. And I'm like, dumber than Jar Jar. I told Alex Wentworth, he was like, why are
That's
you learning?
Dude, Alex saved my life one time, kind of. I was working here over the summer at school, and I didn't have any food. And he and I like lost my wallet, and I'm just like, listen, dude, like, I'm going to die. And then he got me food, and then I eventually paid him back when I got it back, and it was a very fun interaction.
Yeah, but serious, I'm like, yeah, learning music has made me look at Star Wars a whole new light. But it's like learning drums, like I was learning like a jazz beat, and I'm like, this is the Imperial March. So I just, in my head, I would play the beat, and then
exactly,
I just picture Darth Vader walking in.
The entrance song, like, yeah, because I get emotional when I watch Star Wars sometimes, because it's maybe has nothing to do with the story, but the fact that someone came up with this is what kind of gets me, if that makes any sense. And
yeah
like, I mean, obviously George didn't design every character, he has, you know, designers to do that. I mean, it's just like, for Molly, he's just like, just make him look evil or something like that.
yeah really, just like,
so yeah, so oh, yeah. that's one of my favorite parts that like kind of strikes, you know, at the soul, where it's just somebody came up with this. whether it's musical or
like,
you know, character development and stuff like that.
Yeah personally, I know the comic complains that Maul didn't get a lot of dialogue.
They thought Ray Park's voice was too high, and then
they had like someone, they did,
and
like,
dubs are so hard. That's what's over. Really hard to for people, because in Mando people were complaining about certain stuff like that with like characters, why don't they have the voice actor either play them live action or play them and dub them over? And then the hard part to understand about that is like, it is so hard to do. It's so hard to, because everyone's mouth moves differently, obviously, so it's like so difficult to,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get it. But I enjoy Phantom Menace. It's a great start to my marathons, or half completed marathons.
DNF.
I think Phantom Menace like shows you what you're about to enter with the trilogy. Like, it shows you how different it is from
for
the
sure,
original.
Yeah. I still opt to leave it out. I really enjoyed the movie, of course, and obviously the final battle scene, but a lot of the politics I feel as though get explained in 2 and 3, almost, with 3 being my favorite overall. Yeah. But because there are a few political things that I never understood with, like, that are obviously drawn from real life, like voting and stuff like that, and like the council needs a certain percentage of votes or something like that to override, and then they give the whole idea that I didn't understand when I was a kid watching is that they give immediate power to the chancellor, which is obviously bad, but
yeah that's definitely an interesting point, like with
of
the
course,
politics that's
right.
more of like an adult thing. It's like Jar Jar was made for kids. The politics were made for the adults. And the older kid, like that.
Yeah, people really think Jar Jar ruined that. I liked his character. I liked the actor. He put a lot of himself into it, and he almost jumped off a bridge because of it, because of the bullying and stuff like that. It's like easy to just see that and just be like, oh, just like who cares? But you know what I mean? Like when you put yourself out there and, you know, people don't like it, it's you can't undo it ever. So
right.
Because ideas stay forever. That's what's so dangerous about stuff like that.
But Jar Jar was so important to like the prequels, because like you said, he was the one who gave immediate powers to the Chancellor.
Oh yeah.
It's like, you may not like him, but he set up the rest of the story.
I think he's a good character in moderation. And I think in one there was if there was less of him in one, then he's introduced in two and three, and it's just like, what is this kangaroo thing?
Yeah.
A bit too much of him in one, I would say. I really like the underwater adventure they go through. What's this thing called? Gungan or something, right?
Yeah. It's true.
Right.
He's a Gungan. Jar Jar's a Gungan. It's a Gunga. Or something like that. But, yeah. Personally, what I found interesting was the conflict between the Gungans and the humans of Naboo. And how it took a 14-year-old to
I think it was great, because that's like a great introduction to her like political career. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I've read Padme books. Well, one of them at least. It's like takes place when she's just elected as senator. So that's interesting, because you see more of her political career through that lens.
I never think about these things until like I talk about them, I guess. Because most times whenever anyone mentions like prequels, they kind of, you know, they just jump to three, you know, with mentions of two episode wise for those who are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I keep not clarifying things, but maybe I feel as though your audience probably understands more than I do. So they're probably just like, oh, God, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, I get it. Like,
I could recite the whole thing. Yeah, like. What's your favorite one?
My favorite meme would have to be the, I see hello there, and the it's treason then.
That was pretty good. I'm so trying to think of my favorite. I would say the one where it's like, it's Obi and Anakin about to fight, and he says, you know, the absolutes, right? And then Obi-Wan realizes saying that what he's saying is an absolute. And then it cuts to Anakin and Samuel Jackson's character, Mace Windu, and they're just like, I think Obi-Wan is the Sith Lord. And that one absolutely gets me. And then there was a voiceover dub of them about to fight. And then Obi-Wan says, let's just put our differences aside and start a meat restaurant business. And then like Anakin says, I'm vegan. And then like ignites it, and then they start fighting like for no reason at all. I don't know. That absolutely kills me every time.
I've seen another person. It's like, did I stutter? Just Obi-Wan holding
red lightsaber. He says what? Oh yeah, yeah.
Did I stutter? Because like Anakin will say that's an absolute. He's like, did I stutter? And this ignites the red lightsaber.
Oh, there you go.
My drumsticks.
Yeah, I got one a few years ago. One of the ultra ones. Oh, that thing's so fun. Yeah. Doesn't have audio. Big mistake, but.
Yeah.
It's fun to go trail running sometimes and mess around with it.
Yeah, but like I said, it's impossible to talk about any Star Wars film without talking about the others, which will be a common theme. I think the main focus will be it, but we'll reference other films to show like what they set up and stuff like that. So this episode will be titled Phantom Menace.
Right.
Does that mean
it should also be titled Me Saying Sure too many times? I don't know why that happened.
Is there anything else you want to add, or you think that's it?
I think that end fight scene, main takeaway from this, I would say, had Qui-Gon lived, we would have not seen Anakin become who he was. I think that's my main takeaway. What about you?
Yeah, I think without Qui-Gon, there was no movie. and it's notable for being one of the only films in which
I never thought of that. Dies. That's so excellent. Cool.
Yeah, so I think that that's awesome.
Thank well, thanks for having me. I saw once again saw music in Disney. I was like, this is cool. So sure, yeah, cool.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get your band.
Awesome.
On.
Thanks so much, Jaina. See ya.
You're welcome.